Well, there's another kind of disease related to that, which is that if you have a more extensive stroke, you have something called anosognosia, in which you don't even realize that you're paralyzed on your left side. So let me tell you the story of the neuropsychologist and neurologist Bisiak in Milan, who had a patient of this kind who had anosognosia, had a massive stroke on the right side. And he came up and he said, look, I've got these two cubes, they're identical. I'm going to put this one in your left hand. I'm going to take it in my left hand, the other one. Now copy what I've done. Then he moved his hand around. The patient said, there, doc, I've done it. He said, no, you haven't. He said, sure I have. He took the patient's hand and put it in his right visual field and said, whose hand is this? And the patient said, yours. And he said, I can't have three hands. And the patient said, doc, it stands to reason. If you got three arms, you have to have three hands. Now, that theory is a very deep, the theory that would explain that, and we don't really have that theory yet, would be almost like what Freud said would be the equivalent of what he called Anna O, a kind of paradigm case that if you explain that, you have the whole picture. So the brain is embodied, and it depends in its dynamics on the kind of body you have. But the second thing is the brain and the body are in the world. And the signals that go to your brain, unlike what we do in our laboratories, are enormously diverse and complex. If you came in this room 10 times and I changed the chairs or the table, you don't really believe that you keep every single detail of the last time in your mind. Yet the number and diversity of different kinds of inputs, even of the same place, is absolutely astonishing. So how can you put a brain theory together unless you consider all of these things?